in God's Word concerning the nativity, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So turn to John chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 18. And let's pray together as we open up His Word. You've created us for deeper contemplation than we ordinarily give, O God. You've created us to think deeply about life and death and salvation, about the coming of the eternal Son of God. And we pray, O Lord, that you would lead us into depths, and that we might be filled to the depths of joy and gladness and thankfulness and joy in this season. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Verses 1 through 18, the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And that is the word of the Lord. I have a few questions to begin, and don't overthink it, please. Don't overthink it. Why can Superman fly? Why can Superman fly? Why is it that bullets bounce off his chest? Why does that happen? What?
Because he's Superman.
Okay, because he's Superman. Okay, you can think a little more deep than that.
Because he's a comic book character,
but in that world of Superman, he's a what? He's an alien. Yes, thank you. He is an alien. He is not from here. Where's he from?
Krypton.
He's from Krypton. Now, I'm sure those who follow those things closely have some theories about the gravity on Krypton versus the gravity on Earth, and therefore he can fly here and all those things. But the fact of the matter is, in this universe of Superman, is that he is an alien. He's not from around here. He is not a human being. He has these special things because there's a story about where he comes from. He has a different name. Kal-El. See, I knew that. And he comes from a different place. And if you didn't know as you read the Superman comics where he came from, you might wonder, how is it that this man does all these things?
Now, you're already, it's a fictional character, obviously. But if you were living in that universe, that fictional universe, and you didn't know that Superman was actually an alien, you might ponder and wonder, how is it that he stops bullets? How is it that he's more powerful than a locomotive? How can he leap tall buildings in a single bound? How is it? You see, there's a backstory to Superman. Every superhero in those fictional universes have a backstory. Batman has a backstory, dark backstory. The Incredible Hulk has a backstory. It's not just some man who turns green. Something happened to him. Spider-Man has a backstory. They all have backstories that help to explain why and how and what and who. So backstories tell us a lot about characters in a story. They do tell us why Superman can fly. They do tell us why Bruce Wayne went so dark. They do tell us how Spider-Man can climb walls and shoot webs. They tell us things. They inform us about motives, background, and it's all essential to all the comic books that followed in Superman and all the series of it, that you know the back story. Matthew, Luke, and John give us a backstory. First two chapters of Matthew, Luke into the third chapter, but mostly the first two chapters. John chapter 1, really five chapters in the Gospels, give us an important backstory. And all these 68 chapters that follow in those three books, and you can add Mark too, because Mark presumes what we get in Matthew, Luke, and John when he gives his account, all are built and based upon this story. And if you don't get the backstory, you really can't make sense of all the other chapters. You can't really understand and comprehend who Jesus is, what he does, why he does it, if you don't understand where he comes from. If you don't understand. So this is the greatest backstory ever told. But unlike Superman, this isn't fiction, it's fact. There's a reason the church through the ages has in its liturgical calendar set apart a special time of contemplation, reflection, and celebration in the birth of Christ. Again, it's only really five chapters. But it is so essential and important to the life of the church that the church has always understood that it is important that we get this right to avoid confusion, to avoid going down rabbit trails, to avoid getting Jesus wrong. We need this. So the celebration of Christmas is a celebration of the backstory of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And we need it. So today and next Sunday, we'll look at the backstory of Jesus. This morning, we're going to look at the backstory of glory from the Gospel of John. Next week, the backstory of humility. There's really two parts to it. And John tackles wonderfully the first part, the backstory of glory. So John's backstory, first and foremost, is a backstory of an eternal person. John's backstory of an eternal person. Now, you don't want to miss that. When it comes to origins, the child born in Bethlehem does not have an ordinary origin. In fact, the person of Jesus doesn't have an origin at all. In the beginning was the Word. It's not a matter of when did Jesus come into being. It's not a matter of where did it all start. Is there a point in time where this being, Jesus, came into existence? Now, we know his incarnation happened in time. But that is Jesus, the Son of God, taking to himself a human nature. The person himself. The person who takes on a human nature and coming to this world is not one who had a beginning. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if you can find an origin to God, you've got the wrong God. If you can find a place in your mind as you reach into the depths of eternity and say there's some place there where God started, then you got the wrong God. In the beginning was the Word. Not the beginning of the Word. Not it all started sometime way back before creation. There was a time when all of a sudden there was God, when before there wasn't God. No, not at all. In the beginning was the Word. And you can't get behind it because he's eternal. He's infinite. He has always been. Now that's a bigger backstory than Superman has. That's a bigger backstory. A more glorious one. Now, when the Greek mind would open up John or hear this read and they would see that word in Greek, logos, it would have stirred up their curiosity. In their contemplations, as we all know, the Greeks were set on philosophy and they would think about things and contemplate and wonder how all things hold together and how matter itself and mind come together. Is it all matter or is it all mind or is it some mixture of both? How do these things work in this world? What is the purpose of life? What is one's destiny? What does the future hold? And logos, the word, reason, was used by many of them to express and explain in some way as they were limited because of their ignorance of God's Old Testament. They were in their ignorance, they thought, well, logos, reason. It holds things together. It makes things what they are. You all know the importance of words. If you've ever read a book, you know the importance of words. When you read a book, what happens in your imagination and mind? Things come to life. Things come to life. In a far greater sense, as we know from Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was. God's word. See, the Jewish mind would have in some way understood, because growing up in the Greek culture from this, that logos, that the word was an essential aspect of God's activity as the divine being. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Psalm 33, verse 6. That the word takes things and makes sense of things. That the word cannot be part of creation. Because God spoke creation into existence. Before creation, there was the word. Again, as John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And apart from him was nothing made that has been made. Life itself comes from him. He is the one who declares the end from the beginning. He is the one who directs all things to their appointed end through their appointed purposes, by his own providence governing all that he has made, so that your life and my life is directed to the very end he has purposed for us. And every step along the way is governed by a sovereign God who is before all things. That's the backstory of the one born in Bethlehem. That's the backstory by which we must read every chapter of the Gospels and every epistle. So John takes the most fundamental understanding of God's work, his word, this divine act of utterance, this word who alone can make sense of your life, and says that word is not an abstract thing. That word is a divine person. It's not just words, incantations. It's not just something that God says. It is a person that works together with the Father in the creating of all things, because he is with the Father eternally. That is the Word. That is the one incarnate. That is the person who comes down to this earth. Before any creation came to be, before the angels or heaven itself, there was the Word, the Logos. The very person born of the Virgin Mary according to the flesh is without origin, without beginning. He stands first in relation to all created things, not as a higher form of being, as Superman was an alien. Superman is just an alien. Even if you take the gods of the Romans and the Greeks, and they have their backstories as well, nothing is like this. So what's the big deal? I mean, it seems you read Matthew and Luke and you may wonder, you get a few chapters past in John 1, you get a few chapters past and you almost think, well, I can live without that backstory and understand Jesus. And you're wrong. You can't read the rest without understanding this. Every page you turn to, when you turn to Jesus' giving of the Beatitudes, understand that is a divine person talking. United to a human nature, for sure, and we'll see that next week. But it is nevertheless, it is the eternal Son of God who speaks. And when Jesus has touched a person with an illness, or touched a blind person, or lame person, and cast out a demon, yes, that is the incarnate Son of God. There is a divine person active. And when he goes to the cross, that is a divine person with his human nature who lays down his life, as we'll see. All of it. It is such a big deal. God, the Word, very God of very God, having face-to-face fellowship eternally with the Father, complete knowledge together with the Father and the Spirit, complete agreement with one another eternally. The Word needs no one to intercede for him or to instruct him. The Word needs no one to fill in the gaps. One thing you'll find about fiction as the story goes on, they keep adding to the backstory. They keep changing things to make it more interesting. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no filling in gaps for the one who is eternal. He is 100% reliable, trustworthy, unchangeable, stable. So everything that comes from him, everything that comes from him, does not have that human frailty of wishy-washiness, of forgetfulness, of stumbling, of mistaking things, or getting it wrong and coming back and having to correct himself. Never is Jesus guessing. Never is he saying, I think the Father is like this. At least that's what I think. It is always absolutely true. And everything that Jesus does is pleasing to the Father. He never has to say, I hope this is okay. John gives to us a backstory of an eternal person. No wonder we celebrate Christmas. No wonder we have set apart a time historically And the Bible doesn't say, and you shall set apart this time. But as it is given to us, it is a part of our worship that we understand we need to be reminded of these things, lest we forget. A divine person, secondly, an eternal person who came to save. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Who better, or who at all, knows life more than the Creator, who made it exactly as he wanted to make it, as he made Adam and Eve in the garden, and as by his divine providence, through all the generations of children that have been born following them, which includes you and I, who knows more about your life than the giver of life? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. He came to bring salvation because we were dead in trespasses and sins. He knows what is best for us. Only the Word, the eternal God, could do that. Only God can completely satisfy the righteous requirement both of law and judgment. The rule of God and the penalty for breaking it could only be met in eternal God, come in the flesh. Only he could do that. Only he has the potency. Only he has life, limitless, to give life to all he is pleased to give it to bring light and life to you and me. And there's no lacking, no wanting in what he has because he's eternal, he's infinite. And once he acts, there is no change because he is unchangeable, immutable. The security of our salvation is grounded in who he is as a person, the eternal Son of God. What a backstory. He's an eternal person who was for all people. God, the Word, came down not just for the Jews, because you see, the person didn't originate with Adam or Abraham. You know, Matthew draws the lineage of Jesus Christ to Abraham. Luke draws it back to Adam. When they're speaking of the incarnate human nature, Son of God, John takes us before that. And the Lord of heaven has created all mankind. And so he is salvation not just for the Jews, but for all people. He is a light for all. Listen to what Simeon, that godly saint of old, said, recorded in Luke 2. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Because he created. There is no one in the world who speaks any language, who comes from any place, that he cannot speak clearly to through his word. He can speak to the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever or ever will be born on this world. He can communicate. He is not bound by the language of his incarnation. He is not bound by Aramaic or Hebrew. He can speak it, and so the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forth, for it is a gospel for all peoples. He is before Adam, before Abraham, and while cultures may clash and nations wage war and generations bicker about what is important, Jesus is a light to all peoples. He's an eternal person who came to save, an eternal person who is for all people, an eternal person who came to set things right. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this world, since the first deception of Eve and Adam, there have been lies and there has been darkness. There's been deception. There's been trickery. And you and I fall into it all the time. And after all, someone would say, especially today, well, not especially today, it's always been this way, who are you to say? Who are you to say that you know the truth? Who are you to say that Jesus is the only way? Who are you to say that I can do this and not that, or I can't do that? And who are you to say, I can't tell the difference between navy blue and black in my near my wardrobe with that light dim as it is. If I come in blue navy slacks and wear black socks, it's not just a faux pas. It's not just a fashion disaster. Not that everyone looks at the socks or anything, but it is a deception. Because I was thinking I had black slacks. And I was acting on the basis of a lie, because my pants were actually blue. I know that seems such a minor thing, but all of life and all of this world is full of that darkness, where we can't tell the difference between navy blue and black. And we're walking around in green socks and red socks and blue socks when everything else should be in the great light known to be. It's black slacks. And you need black slacks. When I take the pair of pants, those two pairs, and take it into the kitchen where the light's better, I can, with a little help, I can say, ah, yeah, okay, that's navy, and that's black. And Jesus comes as the light. And it shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome this. Jesus is not the Word and Logos at odds with another eternal being called Satan. Satan is not an eternal being. So when the light comes into the world, the darkness must withdraw, as Jesus went and cast out demons wherever he went. And he removes from our eyes that deception and all the lies by which we live and choose to live. Because we choose to walk in darkness, and he shines the light upon it. Because he is the divine Son of God, full of glorious light. Pure. Not dimmed. Nothing can withstand the shining light of the gaze of the Lord Jesus Christ or his presence. He is all truth, all knowledge, all wisdom. He reveals in this world a light that proved darkness to be dark and deception to be enslaving. And he shows it to be so. And he proved darkness to be powerless in his presence because he's the eternal Son of God, not just a good man. Superman was an alien. Not just a guy that can fly and stop bullets and leap tall buildings. He's an alien. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and the backstory is that important. He's an eternal person who came to give us adoption, to open up the way to family fellowship with the Father. The Word, the eternal Son of God, came, and he's always been eternal Son, and gave us right to be called children of God. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but of God. He who knew eternal fellowship, as another translation of John's gospel would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was face to face with God. And total and complete intimacy of relationship and understanding and comprehension and agreement and knowledge and wisdom. And we have adoption into the family of God through Him. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. But if you come through the Son, that relationship and that fellowship is yours. Not just a friendship from the outside looking in. Not a passing acquaintance as you might have with someone, as if you maybe look back in your childhood years, someone you knew once, but at the age, the years have passed and you've grown up and you've moved to a different place and you say, yes, I know him. No, so different than that. A complete familial fellowship with the Father. And he with you, as he allows you through his Spirit to call him Abba, Father. An eternal person, lastly, who came to show us the Father. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. It's great confidence that the eternal person of the Son of God has come to us. So the knowledge of God that he reveals is perfect and true knowledge of God. You can say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know God, because Jesus made him known. The world would want you to kind of ease back on that and say, I think I know God. Or, I know God and you do too, and you do too, and you do too, and you do too, no matter what religion you come from. And say, well, we all know God. No. We know God because Christ has come. Christ is the eternal Son of God. We have such an assurance of that knowledge that we need never doubt that God, the true God, the eternal God who made all things, has revealed himself to us in his Son. The author of Hebrews says as much, you know it. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. When we read God's Word, we can say that's right from the mouth of God. It's right from the mouth of God. It's what the backstory tells us. He's motivated by a love for sinners. The power that he worked with in this world through the Spirit was the power of a divine person. Wasn't witchcraft, voodoo, a lucky moment in time. He wasn't just someone who studied medicine and was able to do simple things as people try to recreate the gospel message and make it something that fits into the limits of our puny little minds that don't get that he's the eternal Son of God. That babe born in Bethlehem didn't have an ordinary origin as we would think of it. It's all right. In fact, you probably have always had this awe of John 1, haven't you? You read John 1, you go, whoa. John puts a lot into that. Really, there's themes in John 1 that then are worked out throughout the book, but this morning, I just want you to think about it and who wrote it. It's given under inspiration by the Holy Spirit. John who grew so old. John who saw Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. John who saw the church grow and spread and expand. John who saw Gentiles coming to saving faith and knowing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He saw people apostatize too, 1 John. Let them go, they were never of us. He would say of those who became heretics and denied the faith and moved out. He heard questions from saints struggling with the freshness of the new age of salvation in Christ, who were trying to comprehend and understand what all this meant. God, really God? He knew the saints were wondering about the end, when Jesus would return. All that John had seen in his years as an apostle and all he had witnessed, he beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he remembered through it all. And he begins his gospel with this backstory that says, understand, you who are going through all these things and all these trials, you see people that you thought once believed and they've abandoned the faith and they've walked away. They denied the eternal person of Christ. They've walked away, or you have so many questions, you tender-hearted saint, and you're wondering how this all works out, how the difficulties, how the abandonment by your family, and how the struggle with your sickness, and what this all has to do with anything, and you see that the one who has come, John says, is eternal God. You're okay. You're okay. Because the one who came in the flesh is the Word. Was always with God. You see. And John knew the saints needed to remember that. And the Spirit, in giving this word, knew what you and I today need in a world that is constantly changing. Everything is shifting. And even in parts of the church, things are morphing and turning, and things that we once held true, people are denying. And wanting to redefine and change about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes this gospel and says, listen, folks, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You're okay. You're okay. And it's worth celebrating. Every step of the way, the saints need to remember the backstory of glory. It assures us that all Jesus said and did was true and accomplished for sure our salvation, and we need it. You may think your faith is threatened by everything that's going on today. And John says, I can't threaten the eternal Word. You can't shoot and kill Superman. It's just going to bounce right off him. You can't get into a fist fight with him and expect to win. Jesus is eternal God. What hope has any nation, any people, any government, any judge, any legislator, any president, any tyrant of taking away what the eternal Son of God has brought? They cannot. Be cheered and of good cheer and celebrate the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, because it is worth celebrating. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have given to us your eternal Son, who is full of grace and truth. And you have given to him to us as a Savior, as Lord and King. You have sent him
coming with glory, but entering into this world with the humility, being born of the Virgin. We pray, O God, you would fit us and equip us with this knowledge to face every day, and even, O Lord, to enjoy more the celebration of his birth, to have great joy in the season where we celebrate the backstory of your eternal Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.